Episode 218, November 9th, 2015.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Another show without Robbie and without the chat room. I think last show was good. Did we miss them, Joe?
Well, I don't want to say I don't miss them because then I like when they're there. I do. So let's say yes, I did miss them. And I don't want to say I didn't miss Robbie because he put a very cryptic Facebook post on that made me feel bad.
Well, we'll get to that real quick. Welcome to the show, everybody. I did not miss either one, but I like them. I'd like to have them back at some point. But right now, I'm good with a little vacation from Robbie and Eric the actor. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. So if you said, do you want to do this show without Robbie? I'd say absolutely not. But if they said, do you want to do an episode without Robbie? I'd say, sure, let's give it a try. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, like one a month, for example.
I think that's too many, but, you know, he'd be up for it probably.
Robbie, of course, is in Taiwan. And if you're on our Facebook or his Facebook, he's posting pics and messages at about 50 times the rate that he normally does. So clearly he is bored, but he left a message that, and I will quote directly, "I listened to the show and I thought it was excellent. It did really highlight my contribution to the show, both positive and negative. I was entertained, but I also learned a lot from it."
Well, first
he
of
learned
all,
a lot.
The first thing he said, he noticed his negative and positive contribution to the show. Okay. So that means that something usually happens that Robbie does that wasn't there. That's the positive that was missing. Let's address that first. What do you think he was referring to?
I think when we were talking about dating Marcus's daughter, I think he would have taken it down a route that would have made it more awkward and less comfortable for all of us.
Yeah, because Marcus actually kind of, not only did he receive that well, he wasn't like, hey, blah, blah, blah. But
he embraced
also,
it.
Yeah, and he was very candid.
Yes.
So, but Robbie likes when people get uncomfortable, and he also likes when they get upset. He loves it.
So he might have, let me throw out a question Robbie might have asked. Who would you prefer just to have sex with your daughter?
Rob Mayer.
Thank you. I don't know if that's good or bad for me.
Congratulations.
I'll take it.
But yeah, the other thing that maybe he was referring to is he likes to, like, if there's tension, he likes to play like the Tim laugh. You know, yes. He likes to play those sound effects that weren't a part of the show, which is also important. And of course, Robbie also helps with content. And, you know, that makes it easier too, because instead of, you know, us both being responsible for 100%, you know, then it's three of us responsible for 100%, which makes it easier.
Sure. All right. Marcus, your opinion. What do you think Robbie would have added from to last week's show?
I think that he does add a different perspective because he has even though he's brothers with you, Joe, he definitely comes from a different place mentally, and he looks at the world differently. So yes, he does bring a different perspective. I think the thing that was missing is, technically speaking, and this is not Robbie, I think this is Skype, but the way that we do this show, when he's involved, there tends to be more audio issues. And I think we had less of that last week.
I agree. So let's blame it all on Robbie. I'm okay with that.
You think it's Robbie's the reason we have audio issues?
I don't want to blame it on Robbie. I want to say that it's Skype not being able to manage four of us simultaneously. But then again, listening back to when it was just the three of you, Robbie is the common denominator.
Well, I don't think, and I'm kidding when I say it's his fault. He's doing all that he can do to make sure his connection and everything, his computer is good. I think it's a Skype thing, and it has, I would say, nothing to do with him and more whoever his
internet provider. Well, he's very quick to blame my computer when something goes. I mean, he's very quick. It's because of Windows, you know, whatever the hell Windows I have. He's very quick to.
He is quick to do that. He mentioned his contribution to the show, both positive and negative. So I guess we're sort of touching on it now. His going from 0 to 100 angry about audio and yelling and snapping, is that the negative you think he's referring to?
I can't imagine it is, because we've said that a million times. That's just us having fun at his expense. He knows that's, and he knows we've said that at least 20 times on this show. That can't be just occurring to him.
He says he learned a lot from it. I mean, what did he learn a lot from it from?
Well, regarding he's got a lot of time because there's nothing on TV. Nobody speaks his language, and he doesn't know anybody. So he has a lot of time to just kind of reflect. Maybe he did a lot of deep analysis that we're not even aware of.
Is it like on Seinfeld when George wasn't having sex, he got really smart? And so now Robbie doesn't have like American TV. So he's getting really smart, noticing all kinds of things, and he's getting fine-tuned.
So Robbie, I'm trying to think of the amount of time that he spends watching TV, thinking about TV, and listening to Howard Stern and thinking about Howard Stern. If you took that out of
and
his
producing
life,
our show.
No, take that. I'm just talking about those four things I just mentioned. Watching TV, thinking about TV, listening to Howard Stern, thinking about Howard Stern. If he were to remove those things, he wouldn't be as happy, because those things, those bring him the greatest joy. Not family, not love, not food, no. Those, television and Howard Stern. That's where he arrives his greatest pleasure.
Where does sex come in?
You'd have to ask him, but below TV and Howard Stern. So if you were to remove those things, yes, he could definitely focus on all other aspects of his life, and he could probably excel in some areas where he hasn't even thought about. But he's not going to give those up. He's not. He wouldn't even give up television for, what was it, $100 million. Remember that?
Yeah. I mean, not for that amount of money, but I don't blame him not wanting to give those things up. I mean, you gotta have things that give you pleasure and joy in this life. And those are relatively inexpensive hobbies.
Yeah, but I mean,
TV, Howard Stern.
Yeah. I mean, you'd have to, if you had to $100 million instead of watching TV, what would you miss the most? It'd be sports, right?
I would go to live games.
You'd have to go to a bunch of live games, every live game, and then you'd have to go to a bunch of movies. But you'd get your fix.
Yeah, I would. Could I buy, I forget this hypothetical, could you buy the DVD of a TV show when the series is over?
Not if you watch it on TV. You have to watch it in a movie theater.
Why just buy a movie theater just for myself?
So. That's what you have to do. You're not allowed to watch TV.
He says he learned a lot from it. I'm curious what he learned from. But I know he's not going to admit that he's bored.
But he's clearly bored. I'm looking at these pictures, and just looking at them, I'm just like some Asian girl holding a dog, him sitting by a field. I mean, I don't want to sit by a field. And Rob, I know you. You don't want to be there either. There's no reason. Listen, if there's something that's like, for example, when Katie and I went to the Dominican, we just went. The scenery was beautiful. It was. you could see the ocean and palm trees and sunsets and all that. And I looked at them. But I didn't never stared at them. I might have taken a picture of one, but this is Robbie like on a bench by a mountain. He's got to be bored out of his mind.
Well, I've been to a lot of countries, and there is a day or two where just people watching is interesting because you're somewhere completely different from where you're from.
Okay.
And just looking around and seeing people interact and just seeing the difference.
Like you're talking about going to like a major city or like in your case, like a market or something like that.
Yeah.
Just see how different cultures behave.
It's entertaining, but not for 2 weeks.
No, you could not take it for that amount of time. You and I are very similar people. Not only do we have similar interests, but socially we're also very similar.
Yes.
And one of the things that we have to do is, all right, who can I engage, right? Be it trying to be funny, or trying to say what's interesting about this person. You know, finding something to dialogue with is extremely important to me. Maybe it's not as important to Robbie. I know that it's not.
No.
But I do know it's important, and we just discussed it. And he can't get to either one of them. Television and Howard Stern, he can't get to it.
Yeah, I'm sure he's like 9 days into this. I bet he's counting the days when he comes back. Now, he's probably not going to admit that whenever, like on Facebook, I've commented that he must be bored. And he's like, no, yes, I'm having a good time. But so maybe he's afraid his girlfriend's reading or listening. Well, there's got to be a way for him to be able to tell us on next week's show when he's back that he was bored without saying it. Can we come up with some sort of phrase or something?
Or like
keyword?
A word? Yeah. All right. How about? You mean like submarine, just something that he would not normally say in speech. And if it comes up, then we know we're just like, I got, I read you. We're not going to react.
Well, but it can't stand out as an obvious, it's got
to
be.
Well, it's got to, because if he just says, he might accidentally say a regular word. You see what I'm saying?
If he was bored most of the time, I want him to say, I had a fantastically awesome time.
Okay. I got it. I see what you're saying.
Something that you wouldn't normally say.
I had a fantastically awesome time.
We'll see. I read you loud and clear, Robbie. Welcome home. He'll be back next week, which means we'll be back doing the live show with, of course, the whole chat room and the gang and the audio issues. So hey, look for that next week.
What if next week he says, hey, I had a fantastic awesome time. And then we're confused if he just missaid the quote.
I think just saying those two together is going to be, we're going to just assume. He won't botch it. He's probably going to listen to each episode like 7 times.
Right. Find where he could have helped and where he hurt, where he might have hurt. Right.
Yeah. Facebook does that memories thing where, it says 2 years ago this day you shared this photo or this thing. Well, 2 years ago today, November 9th, apparently it was the day that we were welcomed to the Moore Network at the, what was it called? The Omericon? Was that what it was called, Marcus?
Yeah.
In Falls Church. So that was 2 years ago.
I think they've had another Omericon since, right?
Well, they had the one in Reno.
The one you weren't invited to?
Well, how do you not get invited to a public event? I don't understand.
Well, we weren't invited to be a part of it. Like,
oh, I understand. Okay, gotcha. Well,
we could have paid and shown up. Obviously, we're allowed.
I'm not doing that.
Hell no. Now, is there no plans for a 2015 event? Obviously, there's not.
Better hurry.
Yeah.
No, there is not.
Well, that sucks.
2016, and the speculation is that it's going to be in New Orleans.
Really?
Ooh, okay. Is there a pocket of Michael O'Mara show fans in New Orleans, or is that just going to be a destination everyone would want to go to?
I think it's just a destination. It's a place the boys want to go play. Even though very recently Oscar has been on the show vying and really just trying to convince Mike and Rob to go to Vegas. Do something off the strip, but go to Vegas rather than going to Reno.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's almost similar, though, and it's the gambling vibe. I think New Orleans is a good idea.
Yeah, but isn't prostitution legal in Reno?
Is that good or bad, Joe?
It's good, right? Will they get people out?
I don't know. Have you ever Now, I'm sure you have it, but would that be something that you would have ever done?
No, I think I've discussed this on this show. I actually have a phobia of prostitutes. As a matter of fact, I can even know a couple stories where I literally got scared. I've told one story about when I was leaving 98 Rock, and I used to do nights, and, you know, I'd be leaving there sometimes 11, 1130 midnight. And I'm leaving, and it's probably around 1130, and I'm sitting at the light at the Rite Aid. You know where that is on Falls Road?
Yes.
And all of a sudden, somebody knocks on my knocks on my window, and I panic, and I just speed right through the red light. Now, there's no cars coming or whatever, but so that was a woman, and you think, you know, when you think prostitute, you think, you know, Julia Roberts from Pretty Woman. This is not what they look like.
Okay. No.
They all wear starter jackets, which I think is weird, but it's like for a, not a local team. It's like a Bills starter jacket, the Jets, the Panthers, the 49ers. And what they do is they just wave to you as you go by. And every time I'd see these desperate women wave, by the way, I have sympathy for them. It's not that I don't think that they're villainous. And that's not true. I have sympathy for them, but I am afraid of desperation. And I always feel like you're out here on Falls Road wanting to bang people as they drive by for money. That's as desperate as you get. And people that are willing to do that, they're also willing to do a lot of other things that could be harmful to me. So I'm afraid of prostitutes. The other time is one time I was walking just through the casino in Atlantic City by the poker room, and I was going to the bathroom, and I was coming back by, and all of a sudden I heard, "Hey, how you doing?" And it was a girl sitting on the floor, and I even remember, like, I almost let out an "ah," like, but I didn't. But I could feel my heart just start to race. And yeah, I'm not a – that's something that I would never find myself – involving myself in. I mean, thank God I can get laid, because if I couldn't and I had to go that route, I guess I'd have to be celibate. I don't know what else I could do.
Yeah, it's very seedy, that scene you're describing, and that makes me very uncomfortable, being around someone who's —
I also don't like insincerity. I mean, if I'm going to have if I'm going to have insincere sex, I'll just have it with myself.
What, you're not sincere with yourself?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. No, but it's not sincere. I'm fantasizing about something that's not happening. Right. Okay. But when people are like, "Oh, yeah," it's almost like, you know, even I don't even like going to strip clubs, because they don't care about anything other than emptying your wallet. And I also don't like strip clubs because, you know, I think, and I've said this before, but, you know, you think about how difficult it is to see that on a woman. You know, a lot of times you got to take them out, and then, you know, maybe they'll let you make out with them, and maybe then you got to hear a bunch of stories, and you got to buy them dinner, and you got to do it again. You got to keep doing it. Eventually, hopefully, you get to see their vagina. Well, when you walk into a strip club, you walk right in, there it is, and you give them $1. It's just, it doesn't feel right. And I don't like the other people that are regulars. Like, that's where they like to go to eat, the Restivas of the world. Like, I know people who are regulars in strip clubs. They're odd and people to not be associated with.
Yeah, not my scene. Now, I've been overseas on some of these comedy tours where there has been opportunities to go, "Hey, off base, guys, there's this, you know, brothel," basically.
There's no way I would do that.
Well, I've never done it. I've never considered it.
No, clearly.
Even if I was single, I don't.
No way. I'd be too scared because,
yeah,
listen,
me too.
I don't even like getting in a cab because I know they're going to rip me off. Can you imagine going over there and go, "How much?" They're like, "I don't know, you know, $5,000. You know,
in this particular situation, you know, we would have been going with people from the base that know the deal.
Oh.
But
they negotiate for you.
Yeah, or they, you know, I didn't get far enough along in this conversation to know all the details, but you would be having an escort is the bad choice of words, but you would have someone there with you that would guide you along the way. But no, that terrifies me as well.
Hey, speaking of Howard Stern, he had somebody on his show, and he admitted that his first sexual experience was with a prostitute. Very, very, very big television and film actor. Who is it?
Okay. Age. What age?
I'm assuming he's in his 50s.
White guy? Black guy?
He is a white guy.
Okay. 50s. Is he known for TV first, then movies?
He's his best known for television, yes.
Rob Lowe.
No, not Rob Lowe. He is, let me think. His show recently ended on television.
Okay. Bryan Cranston?
That's it, Bryan Cranston.
Nice. Really?
Yes, he said where he went, I can't remember, but it was like, you know, Amsterdam or something like that. And he was with this group from his high school. So he was like a junior in high school or a senior, or maybe a senior, and he went over there, and she's like, you know, some lady, he said he was scared, and she's like, oh, how much money do you have? And he's like, well, I only have this. She goes, come on. And she took him in the back, and, you know, he's like, all right, well, I guess I'm doing this. And then after that, every night he's like, oh, this is working. And he would just show up and bang probably 19 prostitutes during that trip.
Well, I guess, you know, if it's your first time, you don't know any better. Maybe that makes it easier almost.
Dude, I can't imagine that. It's terrifying your first time. Your first
time.
That's
why you're with a pro. She's going to be guiding you.
But you don't know that. You don't think about that. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, you're already vulnerable because they can take advantage of you, not just forget sexually, right? You want to be taken advantage of in that way. But monetarily, you could be in physical harm. That would not be enjoyable. I don't even know that's the other thing. If I were in that situation, I don't know if I could physically prepare myself to do that because I'd be nervous.
What about one of these? Let's say you have a lot of money and it's one of these high class call girl escort situations. You're going out to some nice dinner or event. You're in a suit. She's in a nice gown. I mean, she's a 10, right? But it's like $5,000 you're spending, but you don't care because you're a millionaire. Was that more appealing or that's still
weird? But there's a lot of different, I have to place myself in such a different place than I am. The other thing is if you're a multimillionaire, you don't have to go to prostitutes.
You're right.
Be as ugly as you want to be.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about how good looking NFL quarterbacks were the other day. Yesterday.
Katie was there too. It wasn't just Joe and I.
Right. Katie was trying to explain that Andrew Luck was good looking and we were saying that he wasn't or whatever. The point is that he's, you know, he's got tens of millions of dollars and that changes, you know, that changes things.
Yeah, that definitely changes things. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk James Bond, Quentin Tarantino, and Mickey Coachella, the big three. Robin Joshua, be right back.
Hi, this is Justin from the Justin Scott and Spiegel Morning Show, and I'm here to tell you about the most hysterical, amazing, and festive f***ing show I've ever had the privilege to be a part of. It's called A Merry Murder Mystery, another original, hilarious, interactive comedy whodunit from the guys who brought you The Last Laugh and The Newly Dead Game. I'll have a starring role, and if you're very, very lucky, you might play a part too. You might even be the murderer. There's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance, December 9th at the Arlington Cinema and Draft House. For upcoming show dates and more information, please visit facebook.com/DieLaughingProductions or robinjoe.com.
And now back to the Robin Joe Show.
Joe, we had a friend who we won't name him, but he's been connected to the show in the past.
He was connected to the show and now he refuses to be on the show.
Yeah, I mean, whoever you think that might be. Right. But we love him.
We're still friends with him. It's not Chris or Steve-O. We're friends with this guy, he doesn't help the show anymore as he used to.
But he said something that we thought was hilarious that we will share. I forget how it came up.
I do remember how it came up. We were playing cards at my friend Gary's house and his son came home and said that he had just went to see Pulp Fiction for the 11th time.
Yes, that he. I guess he was at someone's house and they were watching it. And this person commented they'd never seen Pulp Fiction.
It was almost as if they were bragging.
Yes. And we were like, why not? And he goes, I don't like Quentin Tarantino. I don't like what he said.
when did Pulp Fiction come out? Like 1990?
1994 is the same year as Forrest Gump and Shawshank.
So 21 years, he's so prophetic that he knew that one day this guy would piss him off.
Tarantino, if you don't know, was involved in a protest against police brutality, and the police are now angry at him.
Prior to him saying that, on this show, we discussed the greatest screenplays ever written, and I believe Pulp Fiction was in the top 10, if I'm not mistaken.
It was up there, yeah, as it should be.
And I believe it to be, yes, and when they did the American Film Institute named their top 100 movies of all time, it was on there. It's a phenomenal film.
Yeah, it's ridiculous to say that something he said now is why you didn't see a movie 21 years ago. That doesn't make any sense. But then we were talking about this before the show, Marcus, and you have never seen Pulp Fiction.
Nope, sorry.
But for a different reason.
I'm not a Quentin Tarantino fan. I've seen three of his movies, and I'm just not a fan of his storytelling. That's all.
The films that you said you saw, one was Inglourious Bastards. You saw that, correct?
Yep, Reservoir Dogs and Kill Bill.
Okay. Well, Kill Bill, I can get. I mean,
that's completely different.
Yeah. If Marcus gave me a movie suggestion, I would never watch it.
Oh, now because he's
never. I would never.
Right.
He thinks Inglourious Bastards it sucks and Reservoir Dogs sucks.
Well, I don't. Did you say that they suck or you just didn't care for them?
No, I didn't say that they sucked. They're just not
my thing. They're bad enough that you won't see any more of his films. I mean that's a pretty big indictment because like I just saw a trailer for a Michael Bay film. I'm gonna go see it.
Why?
You understand? It's a movie. It's based on a true story about where they go and get these guys out of the embassy. Whatever. The point is that it looks like a good film. But it's not like one person makes a movie that was just okay to me. And so I refuse to see any more of their films, including the ones that are considered to be one of the greatest films of all time.
Well, it's a matter of the way he tells stories. And I'm just not a fan of that exaggeration of that storytelling style. So when I see Quentin Tarantino film, no, I don't run out to the movie theaters. Now, I have been known. And the reason that I've seen Kill Bill and I've seen Inglourious Bastards, even though I wasn't a big fan of Reservoir Dogs, was because of the fact that people said, hey, let's go and let's go check it out. Or it was on video and I watched it. But it's just not something I'm running out to. Whereas guess what? December 18th, I'm going to be in the movie theaters watching the next Star Wars film.
See, that's interesting because we've said on this show that of all the people, actors, directors, producers, the one person, if they're connected to a movie, I'm going to see it. And Tarantino's number one.
Yeah, he's number one for me, too. Well, I don't know. Maybe Charlie Kaufman, but I actually saw a movie with Charlie Kaufman recently. I can't remember the name of it. You know, the guy who did Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, being John Malkovich, adaptation. I love his films. I also love Wes Anderson. But I think Tarantino is probably above Wes Anderson for me as well. And, but the Star Wars movies, you know, I think there's been two good ones out of six, right? So even if you're a big fan, I mean, clearly Tarantino has a much better track record of making great movies than the Star Wars six movies, right?
Yeah, but if you don't like Inglourious Bastards, you're probably not going to like Pulp Fiction that much.
But to your point, one of the reasons why I'm really excited about the Star Wars films is because it's J.J. Abrams who did the new Star Trek, and I think did a fantastic job with that franchise.
Yeah, I love those movies.
The thing is,
Star Treks are awesome.
Any Spielberg film I'm going to. And what was the... I had another name and now I've lost it. But no, there are directors, and believe me, I can recognize that Tarantino is a good filmmaker and the quality of his films. And I recognize that. It's just a matter of, it's just not quite my thing. Just like I don't go see horror movies because I'm not a big fan of the genre.
Well, I will say that I'm not a vegetarian, but if the world's greatest vegetarian chef, you know, had a restaurant, I'd probably eat the food.
Well, another thing is if you said, hey, I don't really like vegetables, but then somebody said, this is the greatest dish of all time. I mean, that's really what we're talking about. You cannot like Tarantino, but he does have a film that's considered to be one of the best films ever made. You won't even watch it.
And it's groundbreaking. Whatever.
Yeah, but you'll also watch other movies by him, three of which you've seen, that came out after it. You see what I'm saying? I don't like it. Let me give him another shot, but not Pulp Fiction. Didn't like that either. Let him give me another shot. Still don't like it. Now,
Robbie is hoping that Marcus gets angry right now. He wants this fight to happen.
No, if you want to see it happen, here's how it's going to happen. You guys go see the film. You say, look, we went and saw it. It is by far one of the best pieces of work we've ever seen, or it's the best piece of work that he's ever done. Guess what? I'll probably go see it. It may end up I'll see it when it's on video, but I'm not going out that first or second weekend. I'm not going to do it unless a group of my friends all want to go see it at the same time.
Yeah, but what if Mermelstein wants to?
Yeah, good point.
That guy never goes out anywhere.
Well, people are, the police or some in the police union are saying they're going to boycott this movie, The Hateful Eight, because of the cop police brutality stuff. And Joe, we were talking about what would make you not see a movie or go to a concert from someone that you really loved and looked forward to seeing? What would they have to do?
Nothing.
Well, not nothing.
Think about this. If Hitler,
I'm not going to go see Bill Cosby.
If all of a sudden you found out that Hitler, when he back in the, you know, in the 30s, he made a film, would you watch it?
Well, that's different because that's out of curiosity. Yeah, okay. I would watch it.
Well, what
I'm
if
talking
what
about
if,
something now?
Okay.
Well,
what if OJ put out a documentary like he is? There's a documentary about OJ. Would you going to watch it?
Yeah, that's curiosity. Yes.
Okay. Because, like I said, I mean, if Bill Cosby, let me think. You're right. I'm not going to go see Bill Cosby. You're right. And it is because of what he did. You're 100% right. Because I did see him prior to that, and he was great.
Yeah,
so,
I mean.
So let me think. I mean, I guess seeing him, yeah, you're right. If Bill Cosby put a movie out, I guess it depends on the subject matter. Man, you're right. This is hard to do. This is hard for me to articulate.
I can't get away from it right now with Cosby. I can't. See if he produces any new content, I can't watch it, because I just that'll be in my mind.
Yeah, because I mean, you're right. And but the other thing is, comedy is so different, because comedy is autobiographical. That's why it's so different. It's like, now I'm a despicable person, and now here's me telling you about things that I've done. So that is a lot different. I guess Quentin Tarantino is like almost like if Van Gogh was nuts, and you know, I mean, but still, that doesn't mean that this piece of art isn't magnificent. I guess you're right. If Quentin Tarantino was speaking out at a political rally, I wouldn't be interested. I wouldn't be interested in that.
But so there's nothing he could say politically that's gonna
not make me see this film. Yeah, I mean, it would have to be pretty bad. You know what? If he came out publicly against my children, I wouldn't go see his movie.
Against your children or just
yes.
against
no, children? No, my children.
I would still see it.
He's like, I want them dead.
I've got a hypothetical based on the fact that I'm not a comedian. So if Bill Cosby, and you said comedians do autobiographical work, typically.
For the most part, yeah.
For the most part. So if Bill Cosby all of a sudden put out a 1-hour set of rape jokes, would you go watch that?
No, I wouldn't go. I wouldn't.
No,
I'd watch just, clips that people put on Facebook. But, you know, honestly, I mean, I look at, like, every time I see a comedy special on Netflix, I'm always like, ugh. Even if it's somebody I love, I'm like, am I really going to watch stand up? And I usually don't.
No, I usually don't also. And I just listen to J. Elko Van's reviews of all these specials. It usually aren't, they're usually not that good. But
yeah.
I almost always need comedy in a live format.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'll see Louis C.K.'s and Bill Burr's. There's a couple that I'll watch. But like, you know, JL watched Chris Tucker's and said how horrible it was.
I watched 5 minutes.
I'd never be able to find that out. I'm not watching Chris Tucker do a stand-up special.
I've seen Chris Tucker do live comedy. I think I've told this story before, but I was at the, I don't even think I was performing. I wasn't. I was just watching Bobby Slayton. A comic I like a lot, is still out there slugging away. But this was at the DC Improv, I don't know, 10 years ago. And it's a Sunday night. Bobby Slayton is headlining, and Chris Tucker is in town to do a movie. This is after the Jackie Chan movie, so he was pretty famous. And he says he wants to do time. So he goes up. You know, the show's supposed to end. The MC's like, hey, special guest, Chris Tucker. Crowd's like, yay, oh, my God. And he starts, you know, screwing around, telling jokes. And it was obvious he didn't really have anything planned. Or if he was working on new jokes, they weren't really ready
working
to be
right.
told. And he's not really doing that well after the initial excitement. And then, you know, it's dragging. And some people are starting to walk out. And it's Sunday night. So it's not a night you stay out late. And he's like 45 minutes in. And I'm standing in the back. And Bobby Slayton is back there with me. And he walks up to the front table where people had left and takes the chairs and flips them over and puts them on top of the table right in the middle of a set, and the crowd starts cheering. And then Chris Tucker was smart enough to go, oh, I guess, you know what, thanks, good night. And so that was awesome to me at the time.
Jeez, that was ballsy as hell. It,
well, that's Bobby Slayton. He does not give a shit.
Can I tell my own Bobby Slayton story?
You can.
He's the first big name comic I ever saw bomb. I had a Factory. Neighbor. Yeah. What's that? The
Comedy Factory.
Yes, he's at the Baltimore Comedy Factory. And again, the thing about the Baltimore Comedy Factory back then, this is when it was above Burke's, for those of you who are in the area. It's moved twice since then. But what they would do for some of the late shows is they would just hand out these coupons, all you can drink. And basically they would, you know, sell a $21 ticket or something like that. And then they would serve, you know, you three, you know, drinks, and then you'd leave. So they'd get their money and they'd get you in there, right? That's basically how it would work.
Right.
So these people, they don't know who Bobby Slayton is. And Bobby Slayton, I'm sure, is used to performing for Bobby Slayton fans. Oh, Bobby Slayton's going to be there. I'll buy a ticket. These people didn't know Bobby Slayton from Joe Robinson. They didn't know who he was. So my buddy's like, hey, I'd like to go see Bobby Slayton. I go, I got a hook. Yeah, sure, I'll hook you up. So we're sitting in the back, and he proceeds to just eat a dick.
Was it entertaining, though?
Well, it is entertaining for me because I have a different perspective. But, of course, my buddy who loves Bobby Slayton is like, oh, he's horrible. You know, they don't know. They don't know, understand. And one of my jump out of that story real quick is one time my parents had been to see me a million times, but one time they saw me and I didn't do well. Right. And so, of course, my father comes up to me afterwards. He goes, yeah, I think you told those jokes a little differently. Right. Because, of course, you know, they don't whatever. But that's what he does. He's doing his act. And, of course, while he's doing his act, he's getting frustrated. Now, he's still a pro. So he starts addressing that. And that was really interesting to me. But it was more this. He was an antagonist at that point, and he's arguing with people in the audience. And then he walked off stage and says, I'm never going to work here again. And, of course, I think he's worked here six times since then.
Yeah, you don't usually see a big name. Not that he's a big name anymore, but the headliner doesn't usually bomb in an A room because you're set up to do really well. Now, that's not an A room, the Comedy Factory, but in a good room. Gramps has only seen you a few times?
No, I think Gramps probably seen me 10, 15 times. Okay. He's seen me have a bad set one time.
Yeah, my dad's seen me, I don't know, 3-4 times maybe. My mom only once.
Really?
Yeah, it was early on, probably a year or so in, maybe a year and a half, and I was emceeing for the first time at this club, Wiseacres, where a lot of us met. Andy Klein, people we've mentioned on the show before, Mike Stork.
Big show for you.
Yeah, and I forget the headliner. Ian Salmon was the feature. Doesn't matter to most of you, but, you know, I'm supposed to do 10 minutes. And you're supposed to be clean because you're the MC, so in general you're supposed to be clean. But I want to be clean also because of my mom is there and my stepdad and their friends. And, I, you know, 10 clean to me is a lot, by the way. I'm struggling to get that far. And so it goes fine. You know, I'm emceeing. It's hard. I do okay. And the feature is supposed to do 25. He thinks he sees the light, which is the way you tell someone to wrap up. And it was someone just like in the back with a lighter. He mistakenly thought he saw the light. So he gets off after 10 minutes. So I have to go on. The headliner's up in his room because it's in a hotel. He's not down yet. I have to fill time and then... To do that, that meant I had to tell dirty jokes.
Who's a headliner?
I forget his name. But Andy Campbell was there. He's another local comic, and he ended up doing some time and saved me from telling more dick jokes in front of my poor mother.
But that's why she heard you were filthy, and she didn't like it.
No, she has seen my stuff online and has commented that I'm too dirty and read stuff.
Is she a very conservative woman?
Not politically, but in general, yes.
I've never met your mom, which is surprising because she lives near me.
Yeah, you're right. She lives right near Annapolis, Edgewater. Yeah, you've never met her.
I'd like to meet her, Rob.
Yeah, Tawanda loves her. That's the most important thing. You want to meet my mom? Okay, I'll make that happen. I think she's listened to the show before.
The show, I guarantee you. She thinks
this show.
This is too rude.
Yeah, she's gonna hate you.
Is she closer in age than Katie?
That's a good question. Is she how old your mom?
I don't know. 60 something, early 60s.
She'd have to be 67.
No, she's younger than that.
Yep, she's closer.
She's younger than that.
Hey, boys, we got a special guest, I think, calling in.
You know what? How about this, Joe? We have a special guest coming up right after the break. Rob and Joe Show. Be right back.
Once You Go White, Rob Mayer's newest CD is now available.
It's exciting. I almost had a threesome last week. Clap for me. Almost had a threesome. Give it for me. Thank you. Thank you. I was one girl away. One girl away. I was so two, whatever, but I was in the ballpark.
Recorded live at the Riot Act Comedy Theater in Washington, D.C., Once You Go White features an hour of hilarious, life-changing comedy.
As a kid, the worst Christmas gift ever was always the Radio Shack remote control car. Remember that piece of crap? It's attached to a cord. Oh, wow, I control it for 10 feet. This is awesome. I'm gonna go take my Corvette for a walk now. So
get your copy today or download it now on CD Baby, iTunes, and at robmayer.com. And now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
The power of technology. We're trying to Skype all the way to Taiwan, where our buddy, our producer, the most bored man in the world, Robbie Robinson, awaits. Do we have you yet, Robbie?
He probably fell asleep. While he was dialing.
I don't know where he was, but the connection was not good.
What are the odds that this is going to work, technically?
Here we go. Let's try this. Notice again, technical difficulties. Robbie's involved.
Well, this is a little bit different animal, right?
I blame the entire country of Taiwan. Is it
Hello?
Hey, there he is.
Hey, Robbie.
Hey, guys. What's going on, man?
Wow, you sound awful. What time is it there?
I really sound bad?
You sound tired.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You must be tired from sitting by all those fields and dogs.
but my audio sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, we can hear you fine.
It's in awesome. The morning there, right? It's early in the morning?
Yeah, we just woke up.
Okay. When you say we, that means you're going to temper this. So that's not good. Because when you say we.
No. She's in the other room.
All right. So this is. So there. It can be candid.
Yeah. We're not. Are we recording now?
Yeah. This is it, buddy. This is it. Are you counting the days until you leave?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. If you had to do it over again. Now, how many days are you going to be gone?
Total plus flying time, 12 days.
Okay. If you had to do it all over again, how many days would you make the trip?
I would still make it the same because it's too hard to adjust to the time change.
Yeah. When you fly that long to get somewhere, you don't want to leave right away.
It's tough. The traveling is the toughest part, actually. I'll be honest. The reason I seem so bored and you've seen so many posts from me on Facebook was because Cecilia's father was really sick. It was very serious. We didn't know if he would make it or not. But
good
turns
Lord,
out,
this is serious. Wow.
I know. I'm not trying to bring the show down. The only reason I'm actually mentioning it. That's the reason I'm mentioning it is because she just got word yesterday that he's recovering and that they're going to let him out of the hospital. So
well, that's very uplifting that he lived. Yeah. Yes.
Now did he get sick upon meeting you or was it already happening?
No, he was hospitalized. We found out he was hospitalized when we were literally on our way
Did you visit him in the hospital?
I did.
I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
You went and visited her potentially dying father in the hospital?
I did.
Did you say, do I have your permission to marry this woman?
Did you say, pleased to meet you? I wish it was under better circumstances.
Yeah.
Yeah, the hot nurse.
I said, hey, I got something to ask you. It's kind of important under the circumstances now.
Were you excited because his hospital room had television?
his hospital room does not have television.
Jeez.
There's national health insurance in Taiwan. Everything's free. So he has to share a hospital room with three other people.
How many hours have you logged in that hospital room?
Fortunately, I was spared most of them because that's when I was doing all the posting on Facebook was when I had the Wi-Fi. I was back in the condo. I had the Wi-Fi and I just was sitting around
in the condo.
Meeting someone's parents for the first time is awkward in an ideal situation, that you're both American. Then you add the language, the other country, the 25-hour flying, and now they're on their deathbed? This is the worst thing. This is horrible.
Was he wearing one of those robes?
Yes.
Could you see anything? Could you see his private parts?
Yeah.
A lot of times you can't when they wear those.
Thank goodness.
Were there people next to him? Were they like exposing themselves by accident?
Did you see any penises or vaginas while you were in the hospital?
No.
Right. Did anybody die in that room?
Not that I know of.
Did it smell weird? Because it already smells weird in like a Chinese restaurant.
Yes.
And then now it's a hospital. And it's combining the two smells.
And we wore masks.
Hmm. Oh, everyone! I've seen that when I'm in Japan. They're wearing masks all the time.
Is that what he had? No. SARS?
No, Joe. I don't want to go into all of his issues, okay. But no, he didn't have SARS.
But he lived, right? I mean, that's great. Anyway,
Now he's nearly fully recovered, and they're going to let him out of the hospital. It's amazing.
Now, when you meet him, do you give him a hug? Do you shake his hand?
No, he can contract whatever.
What do
he
you
wants.
Do? You fist bump?
It wasn't possible to really give him a hug, but I did. I did go over and shake his hand and greet him.
With the thing on your face, the mask on.
What about the mask?
Yeah, he doesn't know what you look like. He couldn't pick you out of a lineup, Robbie.
That point, I was not. When I first met him, I wasn't wearing a mask.
How long were you in there? Did he ever have to go to the bathroom at any point in time while you were in there?
No, thank goodness. I was worried about that.
Bedpan.
Oh, man. Now, but he's okay, right? He's out of the woods.
Well, he's not completely okay, but he's recovered significantly, and they're going to release him from the hospital.
Yeah, they're sending him home, yeah.
Is he in his 70s? How old is this guy?
He's in his 80s.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah. Her father's much older than her mother.
Do you think that if it ended up being the worst case scenario, that she would have blamed you?
No.
Okay.
But she might have had to stay here in Taiwan, and I might have had to fly back by myself, which I was not looking forward to. But
that would have been awful. Have you done anything there?
Fun.
That if it was available to you here in the U.S., you would do?
We went to see the new James Bond movie last night.
Okay.
I also saw the
new James Bond movie.
I know. And on cable, we watched what's that movie with Bradley Cooper, Limitless, or what's it called?
Yes.
Yeah.
What do you think was better?
Well, Limitless was better.
It was.
No, I mean, is there anything there that's something you could only do there that you wish you had available?
Yeah.
Trying all the food was definitely interesting. And seeing, we went to the Chiang Kai-shek Memorial yesterday, and I got to tell you, I love that place. No, but it was kind of interesting. I know we can do that in D.C. It's not a big deal to D.C. people because we have our own
Chiang Kai-shek Memorial.
We have a little one here.
There's one in every U.S. city.
It's like the Lincoln Memorial, only 10 times better.
Yeah, only about someone completely
only
different.
10 times better because it's larger. It is a guy I've never seen before. I don't even know what he looks like.
Do they have a Planet of the Apes movie where at the end they show up and Chiang Kai-shek is a monkey?
Yes, they do. The guy from Lancelot Link, Wicked Wang Fu.
So, Robbie, we theorized earlier, and maybe you could just tell us now, but you said in your post that you learned a lot from last week's episode. You care to tell us what you learned, or are you going to hold out on that?
You said positive and negative.
Well, that's the negative is mostly technical, so it would be boring. But but the positive is that the segment with where you asked Marcus about his daughter was the best, funniest segment on the show, and that was my idea.
We nailed it.
We gave you credit for that idea too. When are you flying home? When do you arrive back?
On Thursday.
Well, you got it's Tuesday there now, so you got two more days. You can do it, bud.
Yeah, but we're in Taipei now, and tomorrow we're taking the express train back to Taichung to see her dad, visit her dad one more time, and then coming back here.
Are you gonna wear the mask again?
Probably. No, because he should be home by then, I hope.
Well, when now, he sees you, is he going to say, who's this guy? Because he's not going to recognize you because you were wearing the mask the last time.
Do you have a gift, like a get well card or something?
Probably. They don't do that, and they don't do that in the Asian world.
Oh, they don't do cards, really?
No.
Man, they're really.
They don't do photographs. They don't do
forks or cards.
They don't display photographs in frames They don't display photographs in frames. Apparently, that's only done for people once they're gone, and they don't. All right.
Yeah,
we'll ask these more questions when you get back.
Yeah, Robbie.
Get home safe, bud. All right. You can hang up on him.
I tried to. I don't know if I successfully did it, but I believe I did.
That was good, though. I'm glad we got Robbie in.
Yeah. I mean, he had to fess up a little bit. It can't be too much fun. I'm only laughing because he lived, right? I mean, that's great.
Yeah.
I'm glad he made it. I'm glad the old guy pulled through.
Can you imagine? It's like a 24-hour travel day from leaving from your house to go to the airport to waiting, the two flights. And then you get there and you got to deal with this guy you never met is he's on his deathbed.
I want you to think of a scenario that you've ever been in your entire life that's more awkward than meeting your girlfriend's father for the first time who doesn't speak your language on his deathbed.
No, there's nothing
close.
Tell
me what. I mean, I guess if he shit his pants at the same time, that would be. But that's, I mean, I've never been in a situation that awkward.
What would be more awkward? That or you meet him and you shit your pants, but he's not sick. He's just
what I was saying. Yeah. Obviously, it's more awkward if I shit my pants. If he does, you're like, well, this makes sense. He's old and he's in a bad state. But if I do that, yeah, that's more awkward. But
what if you fart really loud?
Well, obviously, it's more awkward if you add that on to what you're already doing. You're talking about fart really loud. I mean, what if I do? Yeah, it's going to be awkward. What's your question?
More awkward than this hospital thing.
Oh, you mean if you just meet him and you fart really loud?
Yeah. Oh. He's not sick. He's American. He's just this is normal.
No, I see what you're saying. That'd be pretty. Yeah, that'd be worse.
You'd know right away what kind of person you're dealing with, though.
What if you're the guy? You're the dad.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, I'm bringing my new boyfriend. I go, don't bring him. I literally would say that. I go, listen, don't bring him.
Well, where's she going to put him? He doesn't know what to do. He's in Taiwan.
No, he's been in the condo the whole time. And the other thing is, I don't think, if that was me, it's me. Okay, God forbid Katie dies, okay? And now I have a girl I've dated. She's never met my parents. Gramps is on his deathbed. If I say, hey, I'm bringing my new girlfriend to meet you, he's going to go, no, don't do that. Don't bring her here.
Robbie's not there for him. He's there for his girlfriend.
But the girlfriend and the dad should have both been like, don't bring this guy.
Oh, but the women are always going to want the man there.
I'm telling you right now, I'm saying to my kids right now, if I'm dying, don't bring your new girlfriend to come meet me. I don't want that.
Yeah, no, I get that. You're talking about boys, though. You're talking about you. If a daughter, a woman, is going to want her boyfriend, her friend, somebody there to help her, support her.
Yeah, but she could have brought anybody. He doesn't know who he is. So he can be there to support her, but he doesn't have to be here for this guy. This guy doesn't know him. What do you think? She's going to be like, I want him to know I'm in good hands. Here's Robbie Robinson. I'm all taken care of.
I made you this mixtape.
I made you this mixtape in case you don't make it.
Well, what do you think? I mean, I'm sure he'd try to get out of it.
It has China Girl by David Bowie on it, and I'm turning Japanese by the vapors.
Kung Fu fighting. I mean, how do you get out of it, though? You can't get out of it.
Well, you can't get it. He can't get out of it. If it's me, I can have a reasonable conversation with somebody who I don't have a culture or a language barrier with. I can be like, well, that's not really appropriate for me to be there. And he doesn't want to meet me either right now.
Right.
You know what I mean? But if you want me to be there for you, I will. But you have to think about him, which is the truth. You know, she had to think about her dad who doesn't want to meet Robbie right now. Doesn't want to meet this guy.
Oh, of course not. You're in the hospital. You don't want to meet a new person.
No, especially somebody who's doing what Robbie does to his daughter. You don't want that. Like, this is a bad time for this to be being exposed to this right now.
But aren't they at the next stage of their relationship? And if he is dying, if he's truly on his deathbed, maybe she's trying to introduce dad to the man who's going to take care of her after he's gone.
Yeah, but then it's Robbie. You see what I'm saying? And he's thinking about TV and Howard Stern. It's not what you want.
Well, maybe Robbie's thinking about, you know, I got to get, you know, she's got some money coming to her maybe. God forbid this happens. You know, I got to make a good impression.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. But I'm sure the mom's still around, and you know, she gets the money.
Maybe in their culture, the husband dies, the mom dies too.
Maybe in their culture, the daughter's boyfriend gets the money.
Their daughter's awkward American boyfriend. Let's wrap this up. You didn't like James Bond. We were going to talk about it, but I don't know. Should we?
Man, it wasn't good.
All right. Let's talk about our buddy Mickey Coachella. You're performing with him this week, correct?
Yeah. Now here's let me go back a little bit. First of all, Mickey's falling on hard times. I mean, he posted on Facebook the other day. He posted something. I'm not gonna elaborate on this, but it was more a statement about something that might be going on in his life, his personal life. So I don't know what's going on there, but maybe I don't know if things are changing, either in his relationship or whatever, or in some other personal relationship that he has. So that I want to find out. But then right after that, which looked like a hurtful post, he said, hey, I'm looking for a day job. Does anybody know of any openings? So this guy's falling on tough times.
He's asking for some help.
Yes, his restaurant closed. I don't know why. I'm going to find out. I certainly won't report it on here, but I think it had something to do with licensing or whatever. I don't know, unless Mickey wants me to say something, I won't mention it. But something tough has happened. He started a business, and that business didn't fail. It was closed because of some technicality, and now he can't rectify that. So he now needs a day job, and this guy used to have the number one morning radio show in Baltimore. So I hurt for this guy who's also happens to be a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And not only
we're pulling for you, Mickey.
Yeah, when he says about the day job, people they're like, "Yeah, what comes around goes around." I'm like, "Are you fucking kidding me?" Good Lord, people are so shitty. What do you mean what comes around goes around? This guy's one of the most generous guys I ever met when he had money.
Super generous.
Yeah, I have no idea why people have this kind of venom. By the way, also, let's say you're not a fan of Mickey's. Well, I don't know why you'd be Facebook friends with him if you're not fans of the show, but if you're not, there's a lot of comics like Chris Tucker. I'm not fans of his. I don't want bad things to happen to him.
Of course not.
You understand? I don't want him to get into a car accident or something. I just won't watch his comedy. I don't understand it. And then Mickey was on the Kirk McEwen show, promoting the show that Mickey and I are
98 Rocks afternoon drive show.
Right. We're going to be at Crazy Tunas. I can't remember. Check out my website if you're in Essex. I think it's either Friday or Saturday this coming week. But the listeners, you know, Mickey has only been off the air 2 years. And I think it's been less than that.
Well, he's on the night show now.
Meaning off the morning show, and people are vicious. They're I don't understand where that type of hate comes from or anger towards Mickey. The other thing Mickey talks about, and he talks about it, this isn't me exposing something. He talks about it candidly. He's got serious psychological issues that he's dealing with, serious depression.
Yeah.
You know, parts where, you know, I mean, thoughts of suicide have crossed his mind, things he talks about publicly. I'm not just... You know, this isn't me speaking out of turn or you know, where a place where I shouldn't. This is his information that he generally gives to his fans because he's a guy, you know, he wants to be as honest and open as he can about what's going on in his life. And people are like, yeah, that's what you get. I mean, where does this come from? I don't understand it. I mean, we might make fun of the idea that he hasn't put his It's Mickey show up or he hasn't
put
up.
That's
just us having fun. I don't. Yeah. I mean, this guy's a good friend of mine. But even if he wasn't a close friend of mine, I don't understand why people, I mean, God, it's almost like I thought we liked redemption. I thought we did. I look at the Michael Vicks and the Ray Lewis's. People have had bad things.
He's the underdog. You should be rooting
for him. Yes, why are people
not rooting
for him?
That's part of his charm when he got on the air.
Here's what I'm going to call to the audience. If you're from this area, come out and support Mickey. Seriously, come to the show and support him. I guarantee you that there's a million local comics and local people that he's touched them in some way, either through, I mean, I know he's doing all this charity work for these different benefits, and we'd be at the Comedy Factory raising money for some boxer who got stabbed or some fire department on the Eastern Shore. I mean, he was just a giver.
Awesome guy. He's down on
the great guy. Yeah. So
big heart.
Yes. He's got a huge heart and he's down. So let's look out for him. All right. You know what? I guess I should have the date for this thing, right?
Why don't you go to your website, Joe Robinson Comedy?
I'm gonna do it right now
I am gonna be down in Richmond for 2 nights this week, Wednesday and Thursday. I'm gonna see. Hopefully, I'll see your buddies Hank and Laura Reuter, Marcus.
Hi, Laura.
I'll be sure to give them your love and my love. So check that out. And of course, we're ramping up in December for Murder Mystery Month. December 9th, Arlington Draft House. December 19th, the Boomy Temple in Rosedale, outside of Baltimore, White Marsh area. And December 26th, McGooby's Joke House. If you have an office party that you need to throw somewhere, your company, hey, this is a good idea.
It is. I wish we had more time to promote that, because I think if we got some companies, they we could get them out, and they would be talking about this Christmas party for the next 5 years.
I'm going to be pushing it hard. And we're trying to, we haven't asked them yet, but we're going to try to get Rob Spiewak involved in the Arlington one on December 9th. More details to come on that. Next week, we will have Robbie back, hopefully.
Yeah. Back. Hopefully there's good news on the health front. Yeah. But November 13th, Crazy Tuna Bar and Grill in Essex. So you can Google that. November 13th, I don't know exactly what time the show is, but my guess is 8. But yeah, come out. I mean, that we have some big shows coming up, but that's one for my boy Mickey. And if you got nothing to do this Friday, bring a date. It'll be a good show, by the way.
It'll be an awesome show. Yeah, come on in a few. Maybe I'll show up too.
There you go.
Probably not. Hey, Marcus, awesome job again. Thank you for holding down the fort, and we'll see everybody next week.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.